Hey Lions fans, we find ourselves in the throes of the offseason, which seems like as good a time as any to have some existential conversations about culture. Hit the intro.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
Before I get started, remember to subscribe to the channel. That is how we get to do what we do around here at the Detroit Lions Podcast, and we appreciate you playing along. So please do that. Hit all the likes and the subscribes and all of the other things, and please share this thing far and wide. It seemed to me as good a time as any to have a conversation about culture. Headed into an offseason with seemingly unlimited expectations up to and including hosting playoff games and, I don't know, winning playoff games. It occurred to me through a number of conversations that I had in the Slack channel, the smartest Lions talk that you'll find. Go ahead and make that investment while you're on the podcast website. That the culture, as much as the players, because you get one results from the other, is going to be responsible for the success or failure of this season. Now, what does culture actually mean? Look no further than the story out of Kansas City most recently, where Patrick Mahomes flat out said, "Hey, I want rings. I want championships. I will try to do what I can do to help the team in that regard with his contract." Now, granted, he signed the 10-year, gabillion-dollar deal and launched all of his annoying family members into fame. But moving forward, they're going to have opportunities to make moves contractually with their quarterback that can't be done unless the guy's on board. You can't let go of Patrick Mahomes. You can't do business without him. But if you've got solid cultural footing, you can do business with him in regards to other players. Tom Brady made the same thing possible in New England. It's absolutely invaluable if you want to sustain success to have guys that are on board, buy in, and most importantly, want to play for your franchise more than they want to get paid to play for someone else's. At some point, the culture decides whether or not you can maintain success. Now, what does that mean in Detroit? So far this year, it meant Vitae didn't take the retirement option, that even after back surgery, he wanted to be in Detroit playing with his guys enough to come back. He even cited Penei Sewell as a reason that he wanted to be back in Detroit and signed a deal to make that happen. It means that Romeo Okwara and Charles Harris signed new deals, even after they had contracts in hand, to come in and play one more year. Knowing full well, by the way, that both of them, their jobs are on the line. They're going to have to compete their asses off come training camp in order to maintain a roster spot. Both of them trusted this coaching staff and this administration enough to come back and do that and do it for less money. It also means that Gardner Johnson comes to Detroit for a one-year deal knowing he's going to be given an actual chance to make actual money in the following season and that he's going to get coached up, that he's got Aaron Glenn behind him, that he's going to be put in a position to succeed in this defense. That kind of trust doesn't just come out of nowhere. As fans, we all got to watch it last year on Hard Knocks. You saw the actual connection that Dan Campbell has with these players, even guys that he's letting go. Even the guys that were roster cuts, some of which came back, some of which didn't. They wanted to thank him on their way out the door. That's rare space. That's what it means for the Lions right now. It also means that some players from the outside will self-select out. Jeff Risden, our intrepid Lions insider, had a great point with regards to DeAndre Hopkins. And as I record this, he still hasn't signed with a team. By the time you see it, he may have. I will be very surprised if that team is Detroit, despite what Shannon Sharp may have told you about their $24 million in salary cap space, because, spoiler alert, the salary cap is a myth. But I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is a good fit for this team if any of the scuttlebutt on him is to be believed. Now, it could all be a big elaborate hoax and some sort of tinfoil hat conspiracy to make D-Hop look bad, but guys that don't want to work, guys that don't want to practice, guys that don't feel like they have to be there all of the time or go 100%, are the exact opposite of what this team has been built upon through the draft, through free agency, and the people that they've let go. Don't look now, but this team has made statements about what it thinks of its personnel with some of the guys that are no longer wearing Honolulu blue and silver. So some guys are going to self-select out. If you don't want to work hard, if you don't want to go full go every practice all the time, if you're not willing to put in the work, you're probably not a good fit for this team. We've seen this in New England. There are plenty of free agents that had to make the decision whether or not playing for the Patriots was worth it. Was having a chance at a ring and being a part of a dynasty worth putting up with Bill Belichick? For some guys, it's not. For others, it is. And the ones he ends up getting are fully on board and fully invested in playing football as hard as they possibly can. Now, it's not the exact same with Dan Campbell. He's not the nightmare that Bill Belichick, I very strongly believe, is. And I also don't think that Dan Campbell's going to build a fake tough guy culture that Bill Belichick's been exposed as building in the last few years. There's a reason that all of those coaches go there, try to put on their tough guy pants, and end up failing spectacularly as head coaches themselves. Dan Campbell's guys, they've got to be authentic first and foremost. So many former players, so many guys with league experience at so many different levels of the coaching staff, they're going to demand that you do the same kind of work at the same kind of level that they will do. And some guys aren't going to feel that. It should also mean that former players become evangelists for your program, for your franchise. They're going to go out and tell people all of the things about how great it was to play for that team, because not everybody can stay. Evan Brown is in Seattle. Sometimes there are examples like DJ Chark of guys that get away and they go and they play for other teams. But if they're going around the league and they've got the kinds of good things to say about your program and your franchise and the way you treat players, that sows seeds that you can reap later. Because other free agents are going to want to check out your team given the opportunity. It's just a matter of time before word gets out that Detroit's a really good place to be, that you'll have a chance to succeed, that you're going to have the opportunity to participate in a true meritocracy. Jerry Jacobs is a great example. Undrafted free agent, starting cornerback. First round draft pick, Jeff Okuda's playing in Atlanta. That kind of credit and credibility cannot be faked. And so your former players are going to go out there and they are going to proselytize to the rest of the league and let people know just exactly what Detroit's all about. And if you want to see the other side of that, just today, as I record this, Aaron Rodgers has dropped yet another story through The Athletic burying the Green Bay Packers and how they communicated with him in the never-ending struggle session that is Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. You've got the clown show that is the Arizona Cardinals. Mentioned DeAndre Hopkins earlier. They had the video game clause to keep their quarterback from playing Fortnite. Nobody who's any good wants to play for that team. They've got problems from the ownership on down, scandals in all levels of management, multiple lawsuits from executives and coaches, and that kind of stuff can't be kept a secret either. If you're a dumpster fire of a franchise, word's going to get out there too. And then you're left signing players and keeping players that don't have a lot of other options, because players with options get better deals. They sign other contracts and they move on with their careers, telling everybody what a gong show your franchise is. It's also something that's going to be tested. And it's going to be tested this year. I'm talking about Jameson Williams. Obviously, by now, the 6-game suspension for the gambling, the awful press conference that went on. He handled that well. I don't mean it was awful on his behalf. I mean, I don't know who gave that reporter from iHeart a mic, but they need to not have that in the future. Jameson Williams comes in off an injury. They need him to be a superstar. Now he's not going to be on the field. I've talked about this in previous videos. You can check those out. Go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And the fact of the matter is, he's been celebrated through almost all phases of his athletic career, and now he's going to be called out. I mentioned a couple of videos ago, I think you should take his phone away. Get him off social media. You don't want him reading the negativity. Social media is an open sewer anyway, and any chance they get to kind of poke and prod and take shots at what they perceive to be a weakness, people are going to do it, because people, by and large, are terrible. And Jameson Williams is going to have to hear that. He's going to have to focus through it. He's going to have to train through it, and he's going to have to do it without the comfort of the team's structure. This is when the team's culture is going to have to kick in. Dan Campbell has said on a number of occasions that he believes you can have a couple of high-risk guys in your locker room so long as your culture is established. And he believes in a self-policing locker room. And that's going to be tested. Somebody, anybody, I don't care who, is going to have to get a hold of Jameson Williams and make sure that he knows, A, what he's supposed to be doing, and that B, he's got a place to do it, that he's a part of this team, because they need this guy to be a superstar. Going back to the DLP Slack channel, had a conversation with the saltiest Canadian on the planet, Ash. Love that guy. He's really good at keeping me down to earth. Get in on that Slack conversation. I'm telling you, you miss out on some gems. But he was the one who pointed out that, yes, they want cultural fits, but they're also taking elite athletes. Aiden Hutchinson isn't some try-hard guy. He's a monster. Penei Sewell isn't just somebody with an attitude where he wants to take a swing at Aaron Donald. He's a monster. That guy's a beast. And they need Jameson Williams to be a star player. They traded up to get a guy that was injured. They traded in the division, the whole backstory. He missed the amount of time that he missed with the knee. He came back in. Yeah, I know he caught the touchdown, looked like a punt. He definitely needs some work in the route running department. He needs to learn this offense. Ben Johnson's got to get it into his head. He's going to have to do all of those things, and he's going to have to do it with that suspension lingering. It's going to be up to the guys in that locker room to make sure that he stays in the right headspace. That's entirely cultural. Dan Campbell believes that he's got it established. It's going to be tested, and we'll all find out just exactly whether or not he's right real, real soon. And for all of us plain old Lions fans, it means that we've got a reason to hope that when Dan Campbell says to us that he's ready to put in the work and that none of the expectations of this season are too big and that he's not going to let his guys get full of themselves with all of the hype and all of the predictions and Vegas and everything else that's behind this team, it means that we should be able to believe him. Because the bottom line is, without winning, none of your cultural moves matter. You can have feel-good stories, but if you don't win enough games, it doesn't matter and you get fired. And you can have wins without culture, but you can't sustain them. We've all seen teams that catch lightning in a bottle, but are a dysfunctional mess and eventually fall apart. Culture matters. You combine the two things and you get sustainable winning. You've got to get on that winning track, though. This is the year the Lions need to do it. And if they can get it done in September, October, November, December, it will be because of the cultural bricks that were laid in place in years one and two. That's it for me, man. Like I said, we're in the thick of the offseason, so we get to have hypothetical cultural conversations, but I think this one's a fun one. It's going to be fun to watch. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Once again, that's how we get to do what we do. And we appreciate you being a part of things. I check all the comments, even the mean ones. So please leave those below. Thumbs ups, thumbs downs, shares, all of that stuff is greatly appreciated. Until next time, have a good one.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Woo! Let's go, baby. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions! You've had enough of that shit.